practitioners.
Well, I just have one brief one, so and I think Russ is probably there to. I think it was 3 or 4 months ago we had a presentation by some public comment on the Cherry Valley property as it relates to dog training and growing corn and a whole variety of things, and I'm just getting inundated with people that are constituents that are not happy with the progress. And Russ, I don't want to make a big deal out of this today, but I want to get to the bottom of this and find out what exactly we're going to do so we can let people know, because it's getting to be all consuming here on my end.
Well, I'm sorry that you're getting letters, Larry. I'm not being copied on those. So from my standpoint, yeah, things aren't going as quickly as probably people would like, but we've had three productive meetings since that commission meeting, and the agreement with the with WDFW and the dog training group was that any additional acreage was going to be maintained by the dog training group, just because we have limitations on our end. And yeah, everybody agreed to that. So
well, let me jump in on that for a minute, Russ. The call I got the other day from Barbara Hawley was that they're fine with that, but the state won't let them use their own tools or equipment. And I know for a fact that up on the Skagit Game Island, prior to Jay Cucci's passing, you know, he provided barges and diesel boats and farm tractors and track hoes and the whole thing to get that game island done. So I would think we'd have a precedent set for a public-private partnership when trying to make this thing feasible. But we don't need to tie up the whole commission today. Maybe you and I could talk about it early next week.
That's fine. I could probably sum it up in 30 seconds here, and then we can talk more, Larry. But yeah, we're setting up volunteers. They're signing up right now to get out there and do their thing. And we've trained them. We've trained two operators on our tractor, so they're ready to go. We have two approaches. One is through the volunteer program, and they're signing up right now. There's a larger one. It's called the right of entry, and that's what we worked on up at the Skagit. And we're in the process of figuring out that right of entry permit, and that will allow Brian to not have to be there every time a volunteer's out there, and because they want to work on the weekends. And so I think we're, you know, it's slow, but we're heading in the right direction.
I appreciate that explanation. I'll look forward to talking to you next week. And right. Just join this general discussion. Commissioner Thorburn, did you have any general discussion or anyone else?
Well, I suppose I can share it with you. We had a big test.
I have a better idea. Why don't you and I talk next week? I got some other items I'd like to visit with you about anyway.
Definitely. That sounds like a great idea, Larry. Okay. Great.
I would welcome that opportunity.
Okay.
Anyone else with any general discussion items? Okay.
We need to wait just a minute for Joe Pinesco to get on the line. So... Raquel or Joe, do you want to talk about anything?
I was going to see if anybody had any questions about what's going on here in Olympia, and maybe just provide a really quick update on where we're at in the legislative session, if people are interested.
You know, Raquel?
I'll tell you what I do know. How about that?
So, I'd be interested.
Yeah, so we're in the second special session, which will end next Wednesday, June 21st. What we're hearing is that logistically speaking, mechanically speaking, the legislature is going to have to come out with a budget deal over the weekend, this weekend, if they're going to get done by June 30th, which is pretty scary because it's sounding like they're not anywhere close. And members are leaving for the weekend, so I don't know that they're going to be meeting that deadline. We've been told that the state family has been told to take contingency planning very seriously this year, and expect that we'll be going into July. And so we've been getting our contingency plan in place, just in case, and have been working with budget writers to let them know what the impacts are to the agency if we end up having to have folks furloughed.
To be continued.
Yeah. No way to run a ship.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry for the not so happy news on a Friday.
So, Commissioner Thorburn, I have a quick question. When will we, commissioners, know who the the designated employees who will remain working during the shutdown? And then I'm assuming that the commission closes down. It's not an essential body. during a shutdown.
Kim, how dare you say that?
Commissioner Thorburn, this is Joe Storr. We have, we have some exempted employees because of their funding source. If they're on Department of Transportation funding or non-appropriated funds, or if there's a nexus with the federal law, like the Endangered Species Act, that presumably would trump the, no pun intended, would exempt employees because of the federal requirements. We have those names together. We are notifying employees who would not be exempt, who would be temporarily laid off next, I think it's the 22nd. Those notices go out. One of the major problem areas or question marks we have in terms of staffing has to do with the 41 hatcheries that do not have an ESA nexus, as well as our pheasant farm. And what we're doing is trying to work with OFM to get them, make sure they're aware, and I think they are now. We've sent over a lot of specific data to them. They can't exempt us, but what they're doing is trying to gather up across state agencies some critical impacts, significant impacts, and make the legislature aware. When we got to the brink of a government shutdown a couple of years ago, the legislature had in their back pocket kind of a continuing resolution approach, you know, a funding for a short time period while they continued to work the budget. So I think the hope is that something like that will be available if it's needed. But there's a big uncertainty there. We've got about 20 million steelhead salmon and trout in those 41 hatcheries, and about $350,000 worth of little pheasants at our pheasant farm. So just so you're aware, but that's a long-winded answer to your question, Commissioner. If you want to know specifics, give me a call.
Thank you. Is there any way of mobilizing some volunteers?
That's a tough one. We are looking at that pretty hard for the pheasant farm, and we were ready to go with something like that for a short time a couple of years ago. We can't have staff serve as volunteers.
Right, I understand that.
You know, there's federal prohibitions, and it's hard to, because each hatchery is unique, it's hard to put down, push this button here, you know, feed these fish there. There's a lot of specificity and sophistication to some of those hatcheries. But we're looking at that possibility.
Okay. Thank you.
And this is Eric Gardner. So in addition to that, if I remember right, there's actually just an issue with volunteers in general because of some of the nexus back to the state, but we look to use other NGOs outside of the volunteer capacity in the pheasant farm arena. And quite frankly, I think it's a pretty gray area, because if we're inviting NGOs onto our property to do work and calling them an NGO and not a volunteer, but it seemed to work last time, and so we'll be looking to do something similar if necessary this year. We certainly aren't going to allow, to the best of our abilities, our pheasants at least, to suffer or die as a result of a shutdown. We'll do everything we can.
I mean, technically, you're not supposed to be burning electricity. You're not supposed to be, doing anything that would cause costs.
Yeah.
So.
Tammy, are we